Lane on Harvey South Edge. On the way next, it's the Get It Off Your Chest Radio Talk Show, the program powered by Bessette Motors. They are south of the overpass on US 281 in Carrington. It's 10:26 now. Good morning.
Hi, this is Courtney with Bessette Motors. Start your spring off right in a new Chevy. Take advantage of over $9,000 of combined rebates and discounts on a 2024 Custom Silverado or 2.9 financing for 72 months for qualified buyers. Let go of the wheel and enjoy hands-free driver's assistance with Super Cruise, available on High Country trim models with over 400,000 miles of compatible roads. Schedule a test drive today at 701-652-2955. Bessette Motors, where our customers send their friends.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
Your Chest Radio Talk Show. Conservative talk for Central North Dakota.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
You're not in Washington, D.C., you're in North Dakota. We don't put up with this kind of crap.
The same stable genius has said the biggest problem we had in the Revolutionary War is we didn't have enough airports. Whoa.
You're not in Washington, D.C., you're in North Dakota. We don't put up with this kind of crap.
The group included groundbreaking Asian Americans like Vera Wang and Joan Shingang, I'm going to pronounce it right, Shanga Kawawa.
You're not in Washington, D.C., you're in North Dakota. We don't put up with this kind of crap.
Everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
Free-minded, patriotic Americans. This program is not White House approved.
The fist is still the boss, and the truth don't lie. Don't forget it.
Well, let me just tell you, folks, it's never going to be time to panic, because we're never going to give up. We're not going to give up on America.
Hey, welcome back to the Mix 1470 KHND 99.5 FM and online at Simple Radio. Rick Jensen along with you. R. David Adams is here. How are you, sir?
Test.
Well, we had that turned down because of Amy last week on Friday.
Why am I over here in the corner?
Yeah, she didn't use that one the other day, so.
What?
Your mic.
What did she use?
The other mic.
You need to turn me up a bit. I can't hear myself. Just a tad.
Well, we don't want you to break the level or the needles.
One, two, three. I'm working now.
Okay. Anyway, Shadow Jensen the cat is here, and he's on the mend from his UTI.
Yeah, his poor kitty was sick this weekend.
He was a very sick kitty yesterday in the morning, but he's doing much better now with little antibiotics. Now it makes him sleepy and sleepier than he normally is.
So instead of just sleeping all the time, he's sleeping all the time plus.
Mm-hmm. 10:30, let's check in right now with the lovely South Dakota native Tommy Lahren. She has Fox News commentary for you.
Fox News commentary.
The world is in disarray because our president is a senile puppet who cowers to the green hairs and terror activists who hate America. I could really go for some mean tweets and world peace. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, let's face it, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. There's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
The world was a better and more peaceful place with Donald Trump in charge, and that's just a cold, hard fact. Democrats know it, too. Our current guy is weak in every sense of the word. Physically, mentally, policy-wise, weak, weaker, weakest. And as we stare down the barrel of World War III, so glad our military has been focusing on the importance of DEI and pronouns. But despite the obvious, the leftists and their allies in the media are still trying to convince us that Donald Trump is a threat and a danger. The man who oversaw the collapse of ISIS and started no new wars. The world was afraid of Trump, and we should all like it that way. Maybe our enemies thought he was crazy, but who cares? It worked. Bring back the mean tweets and the world peace. I think I speak for everyone who's honest when I say we need Donald Trump. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
In 32, you know, we got a late start on the program earlier today. The Fun Facts with Amy segment kind of...
Oh, really?
Because Amy got busy and she didn't have time to phone in, and then she did phone in. I'm making up lost ground.
I missed all that because I was working as a slave from the slave owner driver that...
Well, as you should be.
Yeah, there's the whip. Watch me in a little square room in the back of the building, and there I sit for an hour.
At 32, and we have some guests in the studio. We're going to get to them in just a moment because we have to take...
News and information when you need it. We are the Mix 1470 KHND Harvey.
We are back. Program powered by Bassett Motors in Carrington, south of the overpass on US 281. And with us in the studio, we have our friend Brian Casserly here, along with Cheryl Ryan this morning. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really great. Thanks for asking. How about you?
Well, you know, just waiting for the rain.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at the radar before I came to work, and it said it's just outside and never came.
Well, that's a Virgo thing right now.
Yeah, just nothing.
So
watch the chemtrails.
Yeah.
You mean the contrails?
The contrails.
Yes.
Anyway, it's nice to be back on the radio. Kind of missed it.
All right.
That being here.
It's been a while since you sat here. So.
Yes, right. Exactly. I'm going to start off, and then I'm going to let Brian kind of finish off. I thank you for allowing us being on this morning. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that we've got a community group meeting on Tuesday nights at Assembly of God Church at 7 p.m. That's mm-hmm. every Tuesday night. Now, Assembly of God has no affiliation with us. But they're just allowing us a building where we can meet mm-hmm. every Tuesday, and we've had up to 30 people attending. All right, all right. So we've been going on, I would say, 10 weeks or so that we've been meeting. And it started off with, I had a couple of people ask me to get something together because we've got a mayor position and four council positions, and for this June primary, June 11th. So that's what we started off with, but then other people showed up. Everybody has a voice. Mm-hmm. This, you can be in the city of Harvey, you can be in the county, you can come in from other counties. It's a place that we all have a voice. Mm-hmm. And we named ourselves We the People of Harvey. We have a mission statement that we're promoting transparency through, over government mm-hmm. overreach. Yeah. And we've got a platform of things we stand for. Now that it's been in the paper, who's all been running? They got their ballots in last week. We're going to be interviewing, and we just want information out to people. And we also do education. Tomorrow night, we've got Dave Voller that's mm-hmm. going to be speaking on smart meters. We're going to also have another side of it. Come and hear both sides of this issue to be informed. Mm-hmm. So everybody's welcome. Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. at the Assembly of God Church. So I went to a Saturday meeting that I guess between the two of you, Rick and Brian, you had set up with Jason Heitkamp. I learned a lot by listening to Jason. I'm glad that you guys did that. And I'm going to let you guys take over.
I guess for me, the big topic still this week until Thursday is the addition on the new school, or the proposed bond for the addition on the new school. And kind of a last ditch effort to just get some information out. Again, I've kind of maintained from the beginning of this process that my whole agenda and only agenda is transparency and getting answers to questions so that people have all the relevant information and all the factual information to make an informed decision. That's it. Haven't told one single person how to vote. Vote your conscience. But I do think it's important, regardless of whatever election we're talking, whether it be a bond referendum or a presidential election, that we get as many and as truthful facts as possible for people to be able to make up their minds. Yep. And that's what it's about.
That's just for bond anything.
That's for anything.
It should be, yeah.
So
it doesn't always work that way.
No, it definitely doesn't. So, a big topic for me, at the last board forum that they had last week, was the issue of the capital maintenance plan that the school put out back in 2019. That was done by Consolidated Construction in conjunction with ICON. They had, put together a proposal for what costs would be associated with all of the fixes to the elementary school that would be required as a result of ICON's report on issues for health and safety, or just standards, or as it relates to ADA requirements. And so they put out a very extensive and very expensive report on what it would cost to fix the elementary school. And those costs came in about $10.3 million. Now, anybody can look at that report. It's on the Harvey School 2024 Facebook page. You can go scan through there. There's the ICON report. There's the Consolidated Construction report. Okay? And anybody can take a look at it. So nobody has to take my word for it. And I don't ever expect anybody to just take my word for it. By all means, do your research. As I looked through this plan, for starters, the first thing that stuck out to me was the number was $10.3 million. $10.3 million is what it would take to completely bring the elementary school up to date. Everything from plumbing to electric to repairs in the rooms to flooring to, everything under the sun. $10.3 million. So my question was, when this bond referendum survey went out and they were trying to gather information, it said on there it's $22 million to fix up the elementary school or $23.5 million to build new. So my question is, where did the $22 million number come from?
Oh, well, they pulled it out of where they've been trying to get their money out of our pockets by just simply getting that number so high that, we'll just throw that away and we'll go with the new one.
Well, it's hard for me to fathom because you have this report. So I understand, I did the quick calculations and you add, inflation from 2019 to today, and you're still talking $12.6 million. I asked the question of Kyle from ICON, and Kyle's response was, well, construction costs are closer to 40% than the standard inflation of 20%. I said, okay, granted. Now we're talking $14.4 million. Where do we bridge the gap from 14.4 to 22? And he suggested that he thought this cost didn't include any fees or permits or contingency, and I said, nope, that's actually incorrect. On page 7 of the report, it has that category for fees, permits, and contingency. So we talked quite a bit after the event was over, and quite frankly, he couldn't come up with where that 22 number came from. It wasn't their number. It was the school's number. But based on what? And nobody seems to be able to answer the question. So I'll go back. This is a detailed report of all these things that, quite frankly, a lot of them aren't even health and safety or maintenance list. They're wish list type stuff. They're if we have money down the road left in the capital maintenance budget from each individual year, then these kind of things would absolutely be worth investing in to update the school.
Now, this let's say it's $10.3 million to do it all.
Yep.
Why do we have to do it all at once?
Yeah, you don't. This report actually breaks it down.
If we did a little bit every year, start with stuff that we have to get done.
Right.
This has to be fixed. Then this and that. In 10 years, we won't have to have a bond issue to get this done, and we can get it done.
Well, and that's the beauty of the report. The beauty breaks it down into the different areas, and it actually has it over a 10-plus year span.
Okay.
And it breaks it down into your critical needs in your first 2 years, your secondary needs in the two to five, and then a 6 to 5, you know, a 6 to 10 plus year category. So again, I look at this and I go, okay, this is kind of transparency right here. It's got the numbers. Right, it breaks down exactly what we have. A lot of these things are actually things that in the last 5 years the school did upgrade. You know, there's $750,000 in here for new light fixtures. The fact of the matter is, we got those already.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's $150,000 in here for painting the building. Well, I can tell you, the building's been painted. I know because I did it for 3 weeks a couple years ago, and, you know, Ace was kind enough to donate a bunch of paint for free, so all it cost us was our labor during our normal summer cleaning.
That's pretty cool.
And we painted the entire school. We've painted all the classrooms. Typically, the teacher classrooms get painted and updated and refreshed every 5 years. If there's a new teacher in a room, they get to request their paint colors when they're coming in, and we paint their room. So it's hard to imagine it would cost $150,000 to deal with paint when you've already done that kind of stuff. You know, there's stuff in here like remodeling the locker rooms. Not saying the locker rooms couldn't use an update, but the fact of the matter is it's not a priority in my mind that relates to health and safety or the functionality of the building or the students' education, which I think are first and foremost. So if we're talking these things, I mean, there's $600,000 in here for elevators to make the building completely handicap accessible on both sides of the building.
Mm-hmm.
That includes two elevators. That's built.
Just two elevators.
It's two elevators. Okay. That includes, you know, those costs. So I'm looking at the report and I go, okay, it just seems to me, as a layman, that we're looking at a report that basically details how to get this school up to date at half the cost of what we're proposing for the new addition in a reasonable length of time that is way more cost effective for our community, doesn't destroy a building that has been a staple in our community for 90 years, 85 years, and restores that to its former glory. And I said to Kyle flat out from Icon, I said, let's just be realistic here. If we're talking the elementary school building as it is right now, or this new high school addition, or even the current high school, okay? If you were to bring this building up to code and update everything that should have, you know, should have been updated over the last 50 years and whatnot, but you were to spend this money right now and you were to update that building, which of those two buildings will still be standing in 100 years? And he goes, well, you're right, Brian. You can't argue with the architectural, structural strength and components of a building like the elementary school.
Built like a tank.
It is. So the reality is, again, there's a reason we haven't replaced the U.S. Capitol building with other buildings, right? It's because the architecture of the day, sure, do we maintain it? Absolutely. And it's expensive to maintain it. But the fact of the matter is, it is a magnificent piece of architecture. It's the kind of stuff you'd see if you were walking through Europe that are hundreds and hundreds of years old. They were built to last. And if you simply maintain them, and this is basically be a reset, right? We're not talking about a teardown. We're talking about a reset.
All right. Now, I have a question. I don't know if you've got the answer, or maybe we can find out the answer. But let's say that we can convince people we need to get something done, and we can do this, and we can do it for 10.3, 10.5. 14, 12 million, whatever it works out with the numbers. What do we have to do? What kind of increases do we need on a yearly basis for the bond issue to cover that? If we say that we're going to do $2 million or $3 million project every other year, every year, what would that look like? Would we still have a huge increase? I mean, it's like, what are they saying that on a $100,000 home, the residential goes up $329, $365 for agri commercial. Would that would that be cut down, or would they still try to go for that? I mean, where are we sitting financially with that?
Well, I guess as it relates to me, and again, everybody can vote their conscience and vote what they feel is best. As it relates to me, I would think that it would be more cost effective to vote down this bond measure, get our heads together, communicate as a community, work on a process that then, for that matter, would focus on what this community would be able to afford easier, what won't have such a negative impact on our fixed income population, particularly as it relates to seniors or disabled folks, and be able to put our heads together for something that would be more cost effective. As far as financing goes, I would certainly imagine that if we tried to push a bond referendum that was half the cost for the purpose of updating all of these things that were code violations, bringing everything up to par, and having this elementary school building essentially have the structure of an older building with the modern updates that this would entail, we would have a building in great shape in a community that's better off for it at half the cost. And so when we're talking even at the 2% interest, if we were somehow able to get that on a 23.5, you're still talking $31 million in a bond referendum. Whereas I think if you do this, you know, say put $10 million in a bond referendum at half the cost, you're still talking, you're maybe even at 5%, you're talking $18 million. So you're almost half the cost for the folks.
If we did this on a preset schedule where we're going to do so much every year, this year we're going to do 1, 2, 3. Next year we're going to do that. And allocate a specific amount of money for that, that bond issue would be considerably smaller because it would once you've used that up this time, you go, then you just move it along instead of having to redo it all the time. I don't know, maybe that can't be done.
No, I'd imagine it could be done. And again, I think, you know, you'd probably want to do still one bond referendum versus a series of bond referendums over a period of time. But as we've said, too, if we're still looking at other costs that we're going to have to come down the pipe. You know, teachers and staff at the school deserve to have pay increases that keep up with the cost of living. And we're going to need to raise our levy probably to fund that as well. And so that's going to be coming down the road for folks too. But I do think, you know, you get the bond referendum and I think we're talking about compromise here, right? We're talking about trying to do something that both improves our community, which we're all which we're all interested in doing. And we're talking about making modernizations and making the building handicap accessible, getting it up to date. And I just don't see where the evidence has ever been presented to suggest that it would be $22 million when the evidence that they put out themselves is lower.
You know, a listener brought up, too, about the potential cost to tear down the elementary school, and Mayor Rick Eckert brought that up.
That's pretty
sizable.
That was a considerable chunk of change. And, of course, their goal or objective would, of course, be to find a you know, potential buyer for the elementary school that would take that off our hands. But it's just not something you can count on as a reality. Could it happen? Sure, it could happen. But you also have to prepare for the inevitability that it might not. And if that's the case, you know, Rick had suggested from his phone calls that it could potentially cost around $7 million, you know, 6.9 to potentially tear down the elementary school. That would be on top of building a new building. By obviously refurbishing the elementary school and getting it up to date, up to code, you would be eliminating the potential of that cost for sure.
If we build a new addition to the current high school, we're building an addition on, at that time, a school that's 55 years old.
Correct. Yeah,
we're really in the same position we are when they built us 57 addition.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem is, too, is there's problems with the high school.
If it's a building, there's problems.
My brother was the first class, 73, graduated going all 4 years. Okay. And they had problems with the roof the first 4 years that they had to do things. Brand new building, and you've got this happening?
Didn't tear it down and put up a new building.
Well, but this is the thing.
But that's just, I mean, that's the way the government thinks.
But also, okay, let's go with the students. Look what was just in the paper here on the second page. You know, I had heard that our principal had resigned, you know, from the high school. I asked that question Thursday night. Well, a couple of board members were shaking their head, yes, you know, that this was happening. And Mr. Lukens, you know, gave, well, I can't discuss that. But yet here we see that he's, Derek is going to go on to the CATCH program. What's happening here?
You see, and there, what you just stated was something. I mean, Lukens would not talk about it. He said, I can't talk about that. We're paying those people money to run the school and to hire and fire. So why can't we find out if that guy quit? What is so horrible, terrible about telling people, yeah, he did quit. We're going to.
But also another thing he said, that he had been talking to the principal in McCluskey. That's a totally different school district. These are questions that he said it himself, you know. What's happening?
Well, I think it, I think the way it looks right now, it's just way too much money. There's proof that we don't need to spend that kind of money, which we've just talked about here. There are ways around that to do it and continue on. But somebody somewhere has got new buildingitis.
Well, I think that's the nature of our community right now. Well, not even just our community. That's the nature of our world right now, is that we're a throwaway by new world. You know, there's
you nailed it right there. That's what it is.
And you know, unfortunately, for a lot of things, it is actually more expensive to fix something up than it is to buy new, because when you're dealing with so many products that are cheaper to just buy them new, it is easier to say buy a new TV than to go pay someone to repair an old TV.
Right, exactly.
That's not what we're talking here. It's kind of apples and oranges. You know, when you have the paperwork that shows it actually is more cost effective to restore this older building to its former glory than to build new, and you're not compromising by getting rid of 46% of the space that you currently have, that's kind of a horse of a different color, you know? I mean, that's just, and I just want to bring up a couple other things. You know, we've heard from community members that we need to invest in our community or face losing our community. And I just want to point out a few things. New Rockford, Carrington, and Rugby all invested in their community by building new schools. And each one of them has seen a population decline every year, year after year since they built those new schools. It does not prevent that.
No, it doesn't.
So we're talking about, you've got... Of course you want to create a community that's inviting and welcoming and has stuff for people to do when they come there. That isn't really the responsibility of the school. It's the responsibility of the community. But we can save our taxpayers that are here right now and have a better tax climate for potential people that might move
here.
You know,
and that's the elephant in the room no one wants to address is... You lower taxes, you're actually going to... That's a better way to drop businesses and or people in, as opposed to taxing the snot out of everybody. And people
new
like...
New school and new roads won't bring anybody into town.
But remember this. The city is doing a project with the sewer system. But it's only a small project that is doing the major, you know, where everything funnels into. And that's over by the railroad crossing over by the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's not the whole city. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We're going to be doing the city streets again here in sometime in the future. That means that our...
I hope we've got them paid off before we do it again.
Well, and then here we've been... I've been to the county commissioner meeting. And they're trying to raise the mill levies for the township. Harvey is in a township where I live. Dennis Doctor is my my commissioner, and then the rest of the area is Stan Buxa. Okay, so we've got taxes raising there that they're trying to do. Yeah, it's not going to affect this year,
but affects everybody.
But it's going to go.
We got to wrap it up. It's after 11 already. I will say this: the late Bryce Schreibel, former senator here in District 14, once said, "You can't tax, and spend your way into prosperity. It doesn't work."
No.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks for coming by. And great points, Brian. Yep, thanks for doing the research into that, too.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, 11 o'clock now.
Save your gas.
US 281 in Carrington. Good morning.
Hi, this is Courtney with Basset Motors. Start your spring off right in a new Chevy. Take advantage of over $9,000 of combined rebates and discounts on a 2024 custom Silverado or 2.9 financing for 72 months for qualified buyers. Let go of the wheel and enjoy hands-free driver's assistance with Super Cruise. Available on High Country trim models with over 400,000 miles of compatible roads. Schedule a test drive today at 701-652-2955. Basset Motors, where our customers send their friends.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right.
It's the Get It Off Your Chest radio talk show. Conservative talk for Central North Dakota. Free-minded, patriotic Americans. This program is not White House approved.
The fist is still the boss. And the truth don't lie. Don't forget it.
Well, let me just tell you, folks, it's never going to be time to panic because we're never going to give up. We're not going to give up on America.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Mix 1470 KHND 99.5 FM and online at Simple Radio. RJ and RDA here in the studios alongside Shadow Jensen, the cat, who is he's coming along quite nicely with his recovery from UTI. And it's not often that he ever gets sick, though. I think the last time he's going to be 11 years old, and last time he was sick was probably, I don't know, 9 years ago.
Wow. He's done better than I.
But, yeah, he's really coming. He's sleepy with that antibiotic, but he's really coming around now. He is. He woke up now and had some water. And
yep, that's good.
Good sign. It's 11.
Pussycat is on the mend.
Yes, 11:24. And wow, that's working normal again now.
What?
Your mic.
What?
It's all back to normal again now.
Okay.
See, that's what you said years ago. We're talking engineering here.
Mm-hmm.
Something that can be plugged in, like mic cables or anything with audio, it can just sit there and all of a sudden it doesn't work anymore. Well, and that was the case this morning for last hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked, but it wasn't spectacular.
Yeah, if the connectors aren't renewed. I mean, the connection, they're just metal against metal with a spring, basically. And they can corrode. They can get a corrosion in there. We don't have a lot of humidity here, but it still can corrode enough that it's just sitting there not being moved, and there it is. Quite a lot of audio stuff has gone to gold connectors, and we have quite a few of those, too, so that helps.
Well, you know, and for what some of those costs, that's probably why they're made out of gold.
Probably.
11:25 is the time. And a lot of headlines out there, of course, this morning. Big one that, one of the bigger ones is the Iran sending drone attacks on Israel. You don't see much in the drive-by media about that. They're probably cheering that on.
I'm pretty sure.
But it was on Fox News Channel yesterday morning when I woke up. And pretty much the Israeli dome system, I think it's called, was able to knock out all the Iranian drones.
Yep, and drones are slow; they're not like missiles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Iran has said now they're going to send missiles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got a lot less time with the drones. They take a couple hours to get there because they're drones,
mm-hmm.
and so when they know they're coming, they can be prepared, and they pretty much wiped them all out. But missiles are a little tougher because they're going to be going way faster,
mm-hmm.
and you have less time in which to react. And I also noticed that forces from the United States were involved in shooting some of that stuff down, too. So
yeah, I read that.
That's also good.
Also, there was a headline, of course, I can't find it now, it was on the Gateway Pundit, about the Biden regime, and apparently still passing on money yet to Iran.
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me.
And I, for the life of me, I saw it this morning, and I should have bookmarked it because I can't find it right now.
Well, you got to understand, Democrats love dictators because they want to be. They just think that's the coolest way to is to be as a dictator. Because just like a former president of ours lamented the fact that he couldn't do what his dictator friends could and just tell people to do what they're going to do and do it.
So this is pretty damn serious going on with what Iran's doing. You know, China's licking their chops for Taiwan, and they know. They follow the news like we do here. They follow the polls. They know very likely Donald J. Trump will be our next president again.
Yeah, and they're going to make a decision before that what they're going to do with Taiwan. And with our system, our government right now under the Biden administration, I don't think they could fight their way out of a paper bag that was wet and half torn.
Well, here's another headline. Biden won't support an Israeli counterattack against Iran, urging Benjamin Netanyahu to take the win. What win? Well, other than they stopped the
They were drones. Attacked. That's evidently, according to Biden, it's a win if you get attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good for him. So we have got to get rid of these nincompoops. I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay myself alive until the November election because it's every day it gets worse.
Next headline, Israel and Iran, what now? Israeli response is expected in the next 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
This story was issued yesterday morning. U.S. fears to be dragged into a massive regional war.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all the liberals and the rhinos? Yes. Donald Trump's going to get us into World War III. What happened under the tutelage of Donald Trump?
No wars. We actually had an additional peace agreement with several Arab states and the Jewish state of Israel. We knocked our nincompoop friend in North Korea down a peg or two, and he started, not perfectly behaving, but he was not being so bellicose as he is now.
Mm-hmm.
China, was still saying we got Taiwan back. I mean, they got half the continent, but they want Taiwan.
Rhinos and liberals love wars, so I don't think they're fearing it. I think they're banking on it.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Because they just want, because they've figured out a way to make a lot of money with that way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Eisenhower, in one of his last speeches as president, had warned us about. The military-industrial complex. Because they've figured out a way to make money with war. Now, we went through the dirty 30s. We were coming out of the Depression until we get a new president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he started doing his New Deal stuff, and then we went right back into Depression, and we stayed there until the war started, until we started helping our friends across the pond with stuff. That was about 38, 39, and there we are. And all these people took note of it. Now today they go, well, we need to make some money. Let's go start a war.
New York Times admits voters looking back more positively on Trump's presidency as Biden fails at everything.
Oh, yeah. I'm
sorry. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out, friends. Just go shopping for a day once.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tracy yesterday was talking about this. She's talked a lot about this. She's like, is it just me, or is this bag of chips is getting smaller? I said, it is getting smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But she said they charge the same price for it. I said, that's called shrinkflation.
Yeah.
Shrinkflation. And that's been happening a lot under the tutelage of the Biden regime.
Yeah. It has.
So, November, as much as I want summer to be here, November can't be here fast enough.
Yep, that's true.
To get this idiot out of D.C., also, with Strategic Petroleum Reserve, remember when old Biden was draining the reserves, the strategic reserves to lower fuel prices? It was part of a campaign thing in the midterms. Now, we're at critical levels, low levels, and he's canceled replenishment order.
Well, I imagine it's gotten too expensive.
Well, on the cusp of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. But you see, they will make the stupidest decisions. They will sell our reserve or give it away to get an instant lowering of gas prices at the pump and dodge that bullet. And then they have the bullet staring them in the face the rest of their their time in office. They don't think things through anymore. They just it's just a reaction. Well, that's what they that's what our people want. So let's give it to them, and then we are in trouble.
Mm-hmm. 11:32 at KHND Radio. We have to break away. The program powered by Bassett Motors in Carrington. Breaking news this morning too. Heard about it in Ag Central Radio News. Lloyd Omdahl, former lieutenant governor, passed away.
He did, huh?
At the age of 93.
Well, I figured he had to be up there a ways.
11:32, we have cloudy conditions. Temperature-wise, we are sitting at 48 right now. East winds cranking up at 23, gusting to 27. News and weather coming up, but first, Fox Business News and the Fox Business Network. It is 11:32 now. Good morning.
Susan Lee, and this is the Fox Business Report.
We just got a clue on how Americans feel the economy's doing.
Inflation is up, so consumer sentiment is down. This is an April number at University of Michigan. It came in at 77.9, down from 79.4 in March, which was the highest since July of 2021. As for inflation, one-year inflation expectations went up 3.1%. Five-year at 3%.
Fox's Lauren Simonetti. The director of the index believes many Americans are reserving judgment about the economy in light of the upcoming election, which many consumers feel could have a substantial impact on its trajectory. And oil prices are surging, with crude breaking above $87 a barrel, on word that Israel may be preparing for an attack from Iran or its proxies. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Lillian Wu, invested in you.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
11:34 now, the KHND weather guest this time around being brought to you by the First State Bank of Harvey and Anamoose. They are your home-owned, home-operated community bank, First State Bank of Harvey and Anamoose.
Everyone that makes a living making things grow knows that having an ag lender that knows their business is an important part of making a farm operation successful in today's economy. When it comes to agriculture, you can bank on our experience. Our ag lenders know agriculture. Stop in and see us next time you need an ag loan. First State Bank of Harvey, member FDIC. Hometown people, hometown spirit.
Meteorologist Stone Schaefer, he's talking about the Colorado low this week. Soaking rain, very likely this week, right, Stone?
From the storm team at KX News, I'm meteorologist Stone Schaefer. Today, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy skies, highs lower 60s, and east wind 15 to 20, wind gust up to 35. Tonight, more showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, highs or lows in the lower 40s, and east wind 15 to 25, gust up to 30. Tomorrow, showers and a possible thunderstorm. Highs lower 50s, and east wind 15 to 25. On Wednesday, more chances of rain. Partly sunny, highs in the lower 50s. A northwest wind 15 to 25, increasing to the afternoon wind gust up to 35. On Thursday, a small chance of snow, partly sunny, highs in the lower 40s, a west wind 20 to 35 miles per hour. On Friday, partly sunny, highs in the lower 40s, a northwest wind 15 to 25. On Saturday, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 40s, a northwest wind 10 to 20. And on Sunday, sunny, highs in the mid 50s. Keep it right here for your latest forecast. The Mix, 1470 KHND. In 99.5 FM.
Right now, we have some light rain out there, a few sprinkles. The GR Level 3 weather radar showing those scattered sprinkles in the Rugby-Wolford area, and then Harvey, well, south of Balta to Harvey, to about just east of Hurstville, and some scattered showers on the Bismarck radar in the south central. Beginning of this Colorado low. Right now, our temperature sitting at 48 right now. East to southeast wind at 20, gusting to 26. 65% humidity, dew point 37, bare soil temp. Orange is down at 43 this hour.
Weather when you need it. We are The Mix, 1470, KHND, Harvey.
Fox News and information is next with your one-minute update. This report, a courtesy of Roberta Storm with State Farm Insurance and Warehouse Grocery on Harvey's West Edge.
It's the big savings event all this week at Harvey Warehouse Grocery. You'll find bone-in pork shoulder, all natural, whole in the bag, $1.69 a pound. Our Valley mac and cheese dinners, only 69 cents a box. Our Valley chunk shredded or sliced cheese, 3 for $6. Jack's original pizza, selected Fridays, get 3 for $10. Boneless beef chuck roast, $6.49 a pound. Family pack, 85% lean ground beef, $4.99 a pound. You'll find Mr. Dell's hash browns, $3.49 a package. Brew pub, lots and lots of pizzas, only $5.99. Healthy Choice steamers, 3 for $10. Also, Daisy sour cream, $3.69. And boneless marinated pork loin filet, $6.99 from Smithfield. Boneless beef chuck steak, $6.49 a pound. And don't forget about their delicious broasted deli chicken, 4-piece and 8-piece, all cooked up, hot, juicy, and delicious, ready to take home and eat. And don't forget about their brand new website, HarveyWarehouse.com. That's where you can find the full flyer, HarveyWarehouse.com. That's Harvey Warehouse Grocery.
Okay, babe, this new home insurance, I'm bugging out.
Why did you say bugging? And why are you bugging?
I don't know what I'm doing. Why aren't you bugging?
Because we just need a State Farm agent. That's what they do. They help people understand their insurance and not bug out about it. And they're, like, there when you need them. Now quit bugging and say the jingle.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Contact Roberta Storr with State Farm Insurance in Harvey at 324-4318.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Prosecutors and attorneys for former President Trump are getting clarifications from the judge about what the jury can be told or shown, and then jury selection starting for his first criminal trial.
This is an assault on our country, and it's a country that's failing.
Trump, there before heading into the courtroom, is accused of falsifying business records to hide accusations of an affair from voters in 2016. Fox confirms the House plans to send articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate tomorrow afternoon.
It's still unclear if Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer will hold a trial, move to dismiss, or table the impeachment. Mayorkas is accused of not following immigration and border security laws and misleading the public by saying the border is secure. Democrats call it a sham impeachment.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz in Washington. Midday on Wall Street, stocks are trading mixed. America's listening to Fox News.
News and information when you need it. We are The Mix, 1470, KHND, Harvey.
Hi, this is Rod from Tom's Home Furnishings inviting you to our spring cleaning clearance event. New market furniture introductions are on the way, and to make room, many items must go. Save up to 50% off select clearance items and 30% off all wall art and accessories store-wide. Pay no money down and no interest for one full year and free delivery within a 100-mile radius. So hurry in and save only at Tom's Home Furnishings, where you'll find quality, value, and service all under one roof in beautiful downtown Harvey.
Mix, 1470, KHND.
Hey, we're back, 1141, going through the headlines of the day. We mentioned Lloyd Omdahl passed away. I'm not sure if it was yesterday, but the news came out this morning on that issue. And, wow, 93 years old. He was the last Democrat to serve as lieutenant governor in the state.
He was, okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was Sinner?
I believe so.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know, speaking of interesting, there's a news site out there that's it came out I think last year in North Dakota. It's called the Monitor, and they supposedly and I haven't looked at it that often, but it's supposed to be the middle of the road. You know, no left leaning or right leaning. Just actually the news.
Just this is what's going on.
And it's quite interesting. Another Senate race in North Dakota. The headline on the monitor, District 2 Senate race pits veteran Republican against newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Harms, he has written speeches for governors, advised them on policy, and chaired the state Republican Party's never held public office. He's now running for state Senate in a race that's an example of a primary contest between an old guard North Dakota Republican and a political newcomer focused on more social issues. He's running against Republican Party endorsed candidate Mark Ingitt in Northwestern North Dakota's District 2.
Hmm.
They're seeking the seat held by Senator David Rust of Tioga, who's retiring from the legislature.
Okay.
Well, a lot of changes on the horizon.
Oh, yeah, lots.
With the some of the races in the state. Of course, here in District 14, the endorsed candidates are having a meet and greet in New Rockford this Friday.
That's right. And there's some, I think there's some pretty good candidates that we get.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to take a moment, too, to say thanks to the person running for DPI from Windmere, North Dakota.
Windmere?
Windmere. He's Windmere. If you hear. Anyway, Jason Heidkamp, and he was up here and had a nice turnout in the discussion. It was good to hear from him, but we got to do something. Our schools, a year ago I would not have said this because I didn't know what the figures were because I never looked them because I thought, well, it seemed like everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. We have our school kids are failing.
All across the state.
All across the state. There are some that are worse than others, but there's nobody... Nobody, none of these schools get a D. They're all on 70 or below Fs.
So if you were at Jason Heidkamp's event on Saturday here in Harvey at the Armory, it was quite informative. I mean, he covered a wide array of topics that deals with the North Dakota legislature and DPI.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, some of these schools, he has someone who is retired in education, I believe, that puts these slides together, mm-hmm. does the research.
And it all comes from the DPI website. Yes. It's just that you can't just go there and, well, there it is. No, it's in there, but you got to know where it is and how to get it.
Cavalier Public School District.
Mm-hmm.
Spending per pupil, $15,370, an increase of $2,700. And you compare that to, was it 48?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how much that was. That was insane.
I think the increase was $20,000. That was the increase.
Right. But the proficiency levels, wow.
20% and 30% for...
In Cavalier, English 50%, math 35%.
That's still failing.
Graduation rate at 82.6%. Hmm. Belcourt Public School, $22,221 per student.
Mm-hmm.
English proficiency district-wide, 32%. Math, 17%. Graduation rate... 79%. Now, on Jason's page, someone asked a very, very good question.
Hmm.
Person writes, what happens to the 30 or so seniors that don't graduate? Like they're talking about the Belcourt one. Hmm. Do they become super seniors and add to enrollment numbers for the next year? Are they out of luck and told to move on with their life? This person also says the graduation rates are horrible in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Jason responded, he says, many things can happen. They can keep them on the enrollment until age 22.
Mm-hmm.
Schools continue to count them as students and collect money for them, even though they may not be attending school.
Mm-hmm.
He said this makes it look like enrollment's increasing and the teacher-student ratios are high. I didn't know they could do that.
I did not either. And I don't think they should.
Let me read that again. Jason Heidkamp writes... they can keep them, the schools can keep the students who didn't graduate on the enrollment until age 22.
So schools, they're getting paid for not doing a job that they didn't do to start with.
Schools continue to count them as students and collect money for them, even though they may not be attending school. Wow. I did not, that's
crazy.
Bit of information I never knew before.
Very disconcerting.
Well, it is. It's truly an eye-opener.
Kids aren't even there, and then for 4 years, they get to collect the money from the state and the federal government mm-hmm. for those students that aren't even there, that aren't even going to school there anymore. But they're on the rolls.
It's unreal. So, again, you're not didn't make it to Jason's event in Harvey on Saturday, you can check out his Facebook page, Jason Heikamp, for Department of Public Instruction, I believe it is. And if you got questions, he's got his phone number out there. And he, like he said,
well, and
always
he,
takes calls.
And he really is good at preparing himself for these stuff. He, if he run into something, he says, I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
He just flat out says, I don't know that. Doesn't mean that we can't find it. He doesn't know that you can't know everything. And he doesn't make that pretense that he does. Like so many of our politicians, they know everything and know more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you that. But he doesn't. And then he has been a state senator.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a county commissioner. So he's been doing this for a while. And he's been doing it in a pretty almost Democratic area of the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's the black sheep of the Heikamp family.
Yeah. I would actually think the other two are the black sheep, but that's just my own personal opinion, people.
Some more headlines on the Dakota Monitor. It's an interesting website. Mm. It's very put together quite well. Interesting headline here. Burgum and 21 Republican governors urge pause to the new EPA air quality rule. I haven't heard about that one.
I knew there was some kind of a rule, but I haven't heard much about it. I couldn't tell you what it is.
I'm adding this myself. North Dakota King Doug and 21 other Republican governors called Thursday for the Environmental Protection Agency to pause its new rule that limits fine particles in the air.
Yep.
In a letter addressed to EPA Minister Michael Regan, the governors wrote that the new rule will hit rural communities the hardest. The rule, which changes the national ambient air quality standards for fine particle matter, is scheduled to take effect on May 6th. King Doug said the EPA wants to move the goalposts on these toxic air standards.
Hmm.
When they move those goalposts, they are just taking it just to unbelievable levels.
That's true.
So they're talking about particles, soot, pollution.
What we need is a president who will help us get rid of the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
It was never intended to be there that long. It was to clean up our rivers and stuff, and they were a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had time to sit and twiddle their thumbs and, well, we could maybe do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd, well, let's try this. And then they used to get that, and they would do it with an authorization, and now they don't even do that. They just do it. Because they're the law. No, they're not. They're not. That's the whole point. So I'm hoping that, you know, the Department of Education and EPA would be two cabinet positions that I would love to see just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't need either one of them.
Yeah. Who created the EPA? Wasn't that under the Nixon?
That was under Nixon, yeah.
Yeah. And didn't Nixon also take us off the gold standard, too? Or was that before his tutelage?
That's a good question. I don't know. Somebody out there might be able to know that.
I seem to remember or hearing about or reading about it once that it was Nixon that took us off the gold standard.
Yeah, that'd be about the right time, so late 60s. So,
yeah, that was not a good deal. EPA under Nixon was not a good deal. That has caused more damage and harm than it was intended to do as good.
Oh, yeah.
Inadvertently, but yeah. It's 11:51.
It is.
Already.
Well, now what are we going to do?
Shadow is, he's wide awake now. And he's doing quite well, folks. He went through that UTI, urinary tract infection. And second day of antibiotics now. And he's coming around pretty good. It's
all right. It's good to know.
Yeah,
thank you, Shadow, for being a good kitty.
Yeah, it's glad to see he used his litter box for the first time.
That was a nice yawn. Didn't seem to do a stretch yet today, but that'll be coming. Yeah, you'll know he's way on the mend when he
Well, he's done a couple already when you weren't in here.
Ah, I didn't know he was.
Play Morning Markets with Ben Erickson coming up, I believe. But right now, we need to check in with the Ag Central Radio Network. It is next, 11:51. Good morning.